Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. This is Democracy Now!
They broke our two front windows and dragged us out, arrested us, and brought us to detention. One of the agents, the one who had sprayed the pepper spray into my car, proceeded to say, "You guys gotta stop obstructing us, that's why that lesbian bitch is dead," referring to Renee Good.
As nationwide protests continue to call for ICE out for good, referring to the ICE killing of Renee Good, Trump puts 1,500 military troops on standby to deploy to Minneapolis to add to thousands of ICE agents already there, dwarfing the local police department. We'll get a report from the streets of Minneapolis and speak with constitutional scholar Michelle Goodwin. Meanwhile, thousands protest in Greenland and Denmark wearing red MAGA hats, as in Make America Go Away.
We are not interested in being Americans.
We are here for show, Mr. Trump, and we will have Greenland to the Greenlandic and not for the United States.
We'll go to Denmark to speak with the chair of a group for Greenlanders in Denmark who help organize the mass protests. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Tensions are escalating between the United States and Europe after President Trump threatened to impose tariffs on eight European allies that oppose his push to take over Greenland, a semi-autonomous territory of Denmark. On Sunday, Trump sent a text message to Norway's prime minister, writing, quote, "Considering your country decided not to give me the Nobel Peace Prize for having stopped eight wars plus, I no longer feel an obligation to think purely of peace," Trump wrote. He went on, quote, "The world is not secure unless we have complete and total control of Greenland," unquote. In a post overnight, Trump also criticized Britain for giving the Chagos Islands back to Mauritius after nearly six decades of British rule. Over the weekend, thousands took part in protests in Greenland and Denmark. European leaders denounced Trump's threats and are weighing cutting off U.S. companies to the European Union market, a move known as the EU's trade bazooka. UK Foreign Secretary Yvette Cooper spoke Monday.
As the Prime Minister said this morning, the future of Greenland is for the Greenlanders and for the Danes alone. Greenland is a part of the Kingdom of Denmark, and those principles around sovereignty are crucial. It's also why we have made very clear that the use of tariffs and threats against allies in this way is completely wrong and counterproductive.
President Trump's heading to the World Economic Forum in Davos. The Washington Post reports the elite gathering's been turned into an emergency diplomatic summit this year due to Trump's threats to take over Greenland. The Pentagon's placed 1,500 soldiers from the 11th Airborne Division in Alaska on standby to possibly be deployed to Minnesota just days after President Trump threatened to invoke the Insurrection Act to quell protests over ICE's immigration crackdown. This comes as the Trump administration says it's opened criminal investigations into Minnesota Governor Tim Walz and Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey, both of whom have sharply criticized ICE's tactics. In a statement, Governor Walz said, quote, weaponizing the justice system and threatening political opponents is a dangerous authoritarian tactic, unquote. On Friday, a federal judge ordered ICE agents to stop arresting or pepper spraying peaceful protesters in Minneapolis. On Sunday, demonstrators disrupted services at a church in St. Paul to protest one of the church's pastors, David Easterwood, who's reportedly a top ICE official in the Twin Cities. The Department of Justice is now threatening to investigate the protesters. In another development, the Trump administration's being accused of denying legal counsel to many arrested during the immigration sweeps. Multiple attorneys have told ABC they've been prevented from seeing clients held at the Whipple Federal Building in Minneapolis. Meanwhile, ICE agents continue to carry out raids. In St. Paul, armed, masked agents battered down the door of a home and without a warrant arrested a man who was let out of his home in his underwear in sub-freezing weather. It turned out that the man, Chong Lee Scott Tao, is a naturalized U.S. citizen born in Laos. He was later released and spoke to reporters.
And then suddenly there's a gun pointed at us. I'm like, whoa. and then they go, you come out here. I go, okay. And then I come up there. Raise my hand up, and then just put my hand on my back, so I did, and then suddenly they just handcuffed me.
We'll go to the streets of Minnesota after headlines, and we'll speak with constitutional lawyer Michelle Goodwin. President Trump's openly called for regime change in Iran. In an interview with Politico, Trump said, it's time to look for new leadership in Iran, unquote. This comes as an internet blackout continues in Iran, where security forces have largely crushed nationwide protests. The U.S.-based human rights activist news agency says it's verified the deaths of over 3,900 protesters, but the group says the death toll could be far higher. At least 180 security forces have also been killed. The Iranian government has blamed some of the unrest on armed agitators. Israeli forces have begun demolishing the headquarters of UNRWA, the United Nations Relief and Works Agency in occupied East Jerusalem. In a statement, the UN agency said, quote, this is an unprecedented attack not only against UNRWA and its premises, it constitutes a serious violation of international law and the privileges and immunities of the United Nations, unquote. UNRWA was formed in 1949 to provide aid to Palestinians displaced during the Nakba. President Trump's invited Russian President Vladimir Putin, Chinese leader Xi Jinping, and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to join his so-called Board of Peace. Trump floated the idea of the board to oversee a ceasefire in Gaza, but it now appears Trump is envisioning a body that could rival the United Nations. Over the weekend, French President Emmanuel Macron rejected Trump's offer to join the board, warning the new board could undermine the UN. Hungary's far-right Prime Minister Viktor Orban has accepted an invitation to join the board. Trump will serve as the board's chair and have veto power over the board's decisions. Initial appointees on the board include Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, Trump envoy, Steve Witkoff, and former British Prime Minister Tony Blair. In addition, Trump's asking countries to pay $1 billion for a permanent spot on the so-called Board of Peace. The United Nations Human Rights Chief Volker Turk visited Sudan for the first time since fighting erupted in April 2023 between the UAE-backed Rapid Support Forces and the Sudanese military. Sudan's dealing with the world's largest displacement crisis. An estimated 13.6 million people are displaced by the ongoing war. According to the UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, over 30 million people out of Sudan's population of nearly 47 million are in need of humanitarian assistance. This is Volker Turk.
A chronicle of cruelty is unfolding before our very eyes, and we must not look away. This needs to shock our collective conscience. all those who have any influence, including regional actors and notably those who supply the arms and benefit economically from this war, need to act urgently to put an end to it.
In Uganda, 81-year-old President Yoweri Museveni has been re-elected to a seventh term. Election observers and rights groups criticized the result, claiming the campaign was marred by a heavy crackdown on the opposition and an internet blackout. The main opposition candidate, Bobi Wine, spoke to the BBC from hiding and said he will not contest the results. Wine told the BBC, quote, the judiciary in Uganda is captured, and we encourage Ugandans to use any legal means to fight back and protect their democracy, he said. Chile has declared a state of catastrophe as wildfires have killed at least 19 people. Parts of central and southern Chile were under extreme heat warnings, with temperatures set to reach 99 degrees Fahrenheit. Guatemala's declared a state of emergency after 10 police officers have been killed in a wave of coordinated attacks. The violence started over the weekend when prisoners held dozens of guards hostage at three prisons, demanding privileges for gang members and leaders. Guatemalan President Bernardo Arevalo's state of emergency allows authorities to limit demonstrations and enables the police to arrest anyone suspected of being a gang member without an arrest warrant. Hundreds protested in Davos, Switzerland, ahead of President Trump's visit to the World Economic Forum, an annual gathering of global business elites. It comes as Oxfam released a report Monday warning that the collective wealth of billionaires hit a record $18.3 trillion and that the total number of billionaires surpassed 3,000 for the first time in history last year. Oxfam also reports highly unequal countries are seven times more likely to experience the erosion of the rule of law and the undermining of elections. This is Oxfam's Director General, Amitabh Behar.
But the real story is also about how these billionaires are not content enough with being super rich. Now they're buying political power. So they're buying elections, they're buying media houses, and what you're eventually seeing is rise of oligarchies. So these few billionaires control politics, policies, and narratives.
The Justice Department's considering weakening gun laws in an attempt to appeal to Second Amendment supporters. According to the Washington Post, the DOJ is looking to ease rules on private gun sales, loosen requirements for shipping firearms, alter what types of guns can be imported, and even make federal gun licensing fees refundable. Officials are also looking to have applicants list their biological sex at birth on forms required to purchase guns. DOJ officials are reportedly seeking to announce the new rules at the National Shooting Sports Foundation Gun Trade Show in Las Vegas on Wednesday. Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche is scheduled to speak at the trade show. Three top Catholic cardinals in the United States have issued an unusual statement announcing U.S. foreign policy, saying the country's, quote, moral role in confronting evil around the world is in question. The cardinals cited the U.S. attack on Venezuela, Trump's threats against Greenland, and Russia's war in Ukraine. The cardinals wrote, quote, in 2026, the United States has entered into the most profound and searing debate about the moral foundation for America's actions in the world since the end of the Cold War, unquote. In other religious news, an Episcopal bishop in New Hampshire has urged fellow clergy to finalize their wills and prepare for what he called a new era of martyrdom, unquote. Bishop Rob Hirschfeld made the comments during a vigil honoring Rene Good, shot to death by an ICE agent in Minneapolis. The bishop said, quote, now is no longer the time for statements, but for us with our bodies to stand between the powers of this world and the most vulnerable, unquote. On Monday, the Reverend Al Sharpton held a Martin Luther King Day rally in Harlem. He denounced the ICE killing of Rene Good in Minneapolis.
If she cursed him out, does that give them the right to shoot her? And they're now talking about sending in National Guard, sending in more ICE agents, sending 1,500. We are in a state that Dr. King would have been fighting against this country going this far.
Reverend Sharpton also criticized Trump for canceling free admission at national parks on MLK Day yesterday and on Juneteenth. Instead, park entrance fees are now waived on June 14th, President Trump's birthday. And 1 year ago today, President Trump returned to office. A coalition of activist groups, including the Women's March, are calling for a nationwide walkout from schools, jobs and places of commerce today. It's called the Free America Walkout. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman in New York, joined by Democracy Now!'s Juan Gonzalez in Chicago. Hi, Juan.
Hi, Amy, and welcome to all of our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world.
We begin today's show in Minneapolis, Minnesota, as the Pentagon's placed 1,500 soldiers from the 11th Airborne Division in Alaska to be on standby to possibly be deployed to Minnesota just days after President Trump threatened to invoke the Insurrection Act as protests continue over ICE's immigration crackdown. The Trump administration says it's opened criminal investigations into Minnesota Governor Tim Walz and Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey, who've sharply criticized ICE's tactics. In a statement, Walz said, quote, weaponizing the justice system and threatening political opponents is a dangerous authoritarian tactic, unquote. This comes after the FBI reportedly opened a civil rights probe into the ICE agent who killed Renee Good, but then pivoted to focus instead on whether Good and her widow assaulted the agent. Meanwhile, on Friday, a federal judge ordered ICE agents to stop arresting or pepper spraying peaceful demonstrators in Minneapolis. On Sunday, demonstrators disrupted Sunday services at a church in St. Paul to protest one of the church's pastors, David Easterwood, who they say is a top ICE official in the Twin Cities.
Easterwood is a pastor here. He is also the director of the field office for ICE in St. Paul. So someone who claims to worship God, teaching people in this church about God, is out there overseeing ICE agents.
The Department of Justice says it's opened an investigation into the protesters. In another development, the Trump administration is being accused of denying legal counsel to many arrested during the immigration sweeps. Multiple attorneys say they've been blocked from seeing clients held at the Whipple Federal Building in Minneapolis. Meanwhile, ICE agents continue to carry out raids in St. Paul. Armed, masked agents batter down the door of a home and without a warrant arrested a man led out of home in his underwear in sub-freezing weather. It turned out the man was a naturalized U.S. citizen born in Laos. For more, we go to Minneapolis for a report from Democracy Now!'s John Hamilton on the ground there this weekend, speaking with people about how communities are organizing against the ICE raids.
James Schwesnadal is a volunteer with the Community Rapid Response Group on the lookout for federal agents in his Minneapolis neighborhood.
Just driving around my neighborhood, kind of picking an area to just keep an eye on, looking out for any ICE or Customs and Border Patrol.
Hundreds of legal observers like James now patrol the streets of the Twin Cities each day on the lookout for masked federal agents in unmarked vehicles.
And then I'm on a signal chat with people in my neighborhood here, and then there's people all over the neighborhood who are following that signal chat, and if they see a message that ICE is, you know, passing through their block or getting out of their cars on their block or the next block over, they're ready to run out and, you know, videotape, do constitutional observing, blow whistles, let neighbors know that ICE is on the block and it's not safe to come outside.
Activities like these are protected by the First Amendment, but that hasn't stopped federal agents from deploying violence against people who track their movements.
Now, get out of the way. Move your car now, you're a truck.
Patty O'Keefe is a 36-year-old South Minneapolis resident who learned that lesson firsthand.
I live about 8 blocks away from where Renee Good was murdered. Last Sunday, January 11th, I was out patrolling and observing ICE with my friend Brandon when we were violently arrested and detained. When we got on the scene, the ICE agents were getting back into their two vehicles. There were a number of people who had shown up by that point, and so they decided to leave the area. So they turned down a side street, and we proceeded to follow them on that side street and continue blowing our whistles and honking our horns. 30, 40 seconds like into doing that, they stopped their car, got out of the car, surrounded my vehicle, screamed at us to stop following them, told us we were obstructing them. Even though there was no one in front of their cars, we weren't at an active ICE raid even. You know, they could have just kept going forward. And then one of the agents proceeded to spray pepper spray into the front windshield vent of my vehicle. So we got pepper spray in the car, which was, you know, hurt our eyes and our mouths and our throats. And they got back in the vehicles, kept driving. And when we didn't turn around, they stopped the car again, got out.
You can go forward. We are not obstructing. We are not obstructing. You can go forward. You can go forward. We're not obstructing. We are not obstructing. We know our rights.
They broke our two front windows and dragged us out, arrested us, and brought us to detention.
Get out of the car.
Yes, sir.
Get the out of the car.
Yes, sir. I'm coming out.
Get the
Shut up.
Sir, you are under arrest for impeding operation.
I was in the vehicle with three ICE agents, and as soon as they all got into the vehicle and shut the doors, they just immediately started taunting me, making fun of me. One of them took a photo of me and showed it to the other agents, and, you know, they were just laughing, you know, insinuated that I was ugly. And then one of the agents, the one who had sprayed the pepper spray into my car, proceeded to say, "You guys gotta stop obstructing us. That's why that lesbian bitch is dead," referring to Renee Good.
Do not break.
Other legal observers have experienced physical abuse. A disabled U.S. Marine Corps veteran named Sky suffered bruised arms, hands, and legs after being violently pulled from the driver's seat by federal agents.
Get out of the car! Put the car in park!
You know I'm a Marine Corps veteran.
I don't care. What's your arm?
Others have had their license plates and faces scanned by ICE, with agents even following them to their homes.
ICE is at my house.
This is an intimidation tactic.
Yeah.
Judy and Noah Levy were at their home in St. Paul on January 6th when they got an alert.
Someone from my book club sent a message on the group chat that, hey, I think ICE is staging in the parking lot of a grocery store that closed down several blocks away. So we drove over, and there were about eight SUVs lined up kind of tail to tail. Some had plates, some didn't.
They stopped us almost right away.
They stopped. They stopped traffic. The first car that was behind them was about to take a right-hand turn. They surrounded him. There were like five agents that we could see from, you know, several car lengths back where we were. We could hear that they were giving him a really hard time.
No, he's alone.
And then the agents that weren't occupied, the employees that weren't occupied with him, started coming back, and car by car, they took photographs through the windshield.
They're saying, get out of the car, you know, roll down your window.
And we didn't do either thing. Yeah, we just said, hey, we don't want to talk to you.
I do not want to talk to you. Uh-huh. You're in our neighborhood.
You're in our neighborhood.
You're in our neighborhood. I have every
You're
right
in our
to be here.
I'm driving.
You are in our neighborhood.
I'm driving.
You are in our
After the dude took our photographs through the windshield and checked the plate, he came to my passenger side window, just kind of knocked on it and said, hello, hello, Judith, how are you today? What can I do for you, Judith?
Do not threaten me. Do not threaten me.
As I told you, I go by Judy. Nobody calls me Judith unless they've just run my plates. Of course, the next day, they killed someone who was doing just what we were doing. You know, they killed Renee Good. And they've escalated. You know, the violence has escalated, the harassment, the abuse, the beatings, you know, the kidnappings. The every day, they're wreaking havoc. They're speeding through the neighborhood. They're causing accidents. They're disappearing people before the police can even get there.
And what we did was legal. It was legal to follow them. It's legal to film them. Mm-hmm. And they were trying to chill that. And I will have to say that was incredibly intimidating.
That intimidation is felt most in Minneapolis's diverse neighborhoods, like the Lake Street Corridor, where ICE's crackdown has led many immigrant-run businesses to shut their doors.
My name is Miguel Hernandez, and I'm the owner of Lito's Burritos here on Lake and Bryant in Minneapolis, which is a Mexican-American Chicano restaurant. If there's not a significant change in what's happening here in Minneapolis, like right now, we will lose a massive amount of the community, restaurants. People aren't going to work. You can't keep open hours. You can't pay bills if you're not open, but you're risking the safety of staff. You're risking the safety of your family if you continue to work. And those conditions can be stressful. It's really tough to maybe making tacos and burritos and wondering if someone's going to barge in and just start asking for people's, you know, statuses. It's not a sane way to live. And over, I'm really proud of the community for standing up and fighting back any way they can. And all they're looking for, when I say fight back, is accountability. Accountability, due process, and respect of human rights.
My name is Yudu. I use she, her pronouns. I'm a community organizer and immigrant rights activist with the Minnesota Immigrant Rights Action Committee. Folks at all hours of the day, no matter who you are, just being on the lookout in the community. We see, you know, especially in streets that are cultural corridors that have a lot of immigrant-owned businesses, but just people of color who own their businesses. We see people standing on street corners, looking after each other. If there's any suspicious activity or vehicles, reporting it to each other and seeing if there's any license plates that we can bring back that we know are confirmed ICE vehicles. And you know, if there are ICE agents who show up, to immediately alert other rapid response networks, to blow their whistles, to alert the community that ICE is in the area, and ultimately just chase them out and make it known to the community that ICE is here, not only to protect the community, but also to let ICE know they're not welcome here.
As ICE agents openly use racial profiling to determine who they stop, some of Minnesota's indigenous citizens have been detained, sometimes violently. Chase Iron Eyes is a member of the Oglala Sioux Tribe, an attorney and executive director of the Sacred Defense Fund.
I've said nobody is more American than the American Indian. Yet here ICE is executing immigration enforcement violence against the original Americans, the true Americans. And when they're capturing us and violating our rights and illegally profiling us, where are they going to deport us? Where could they possibly deport us? So it is a legal impossibility for ICE to be doing what they're doing to Native American people right now.
Get out. Just get out. Just get out, Beto. Just get out, Beto. Please, please, they're mean.
There's a Native woman with her nephew, another Native American, driving in Minneapolis-St. Paul area, and they're pulled over and profiled. And probably because they look like us, we look like them. The people that ICE is trying to target, one demographic, are those people who are indigenous to the entire Western Hemisphere.